Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 79. How are we all? Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Oh, Kim. Got an email from a dentist today. Ooh, got up in the world. CQ Deb. It's the mail telling us that they'll be opening shortly, next Monday, I believe. They're seeing everybody who's had a crisis first, and they ask that we don't ring them. So if you missed an appointment or whatever, don't ring them. They'll get in touch with you. But the bit I found quite surprising was waiting rooms are out of use. So I think you're going to have to sit in your car until virtually it's your turn to go in. At which point they will meet you at the door and escort you in to the surgery. Wow. But I'm not due to go until the back end of June, and that's only for a hygienist appointment. I'm thinking I'll probably skip that one, let everybody else have a dabble first. But yeah, that's what they're doing. So we have movement on the dental front. Thankfully, I didn't need any treatment during lockdown. Oh, that would have been a calamity, not being able to get to my own dentist. Oh, we know it won't work. You can't just fob me off with anybody else. There's no mention of PPE, but they did say that there would be a long questionnaire that they would take you through on the phone. So I think it's basically all hands on deck at the dental surgery to ring all the patients and talk them all through it before you even get as close as the car park, which sounds like a good idea. Oh, Jonathan, you love reading the magazines. It's like a time machine. Mine doesn't have magazines, to be honest. There are a couple of copies of the daily paper, but it's the mail, you know, so doubles up for toilet paper, doesn't it? But what they do have is a huge screen on the wall. They also have, I think it's Magic FM playing. I think it's Magic FM. So we are serenaded with music and frightened witless with the videos that they play on this TV about abscesses in the brain and stuff. Enough to terrify you. To be honest, you tend not to be waiting that long. And there's another little waiting area upstairs. But it's a very tiny building. I think originally it was a house. It's been extended about 15 times. But there's like corridors to get from A to B and windy stairs. So it could be quite tricky. And you're not allowed to touch anything. And then when you've left, then everywhere has to be washed. So it's going to take forever for them, isn't it? I really feel for them. Hello, Paul. Currently on a conference call, but watching the chat. In that case, I'll put hello, Paul, in the chat, or he won't see it at all, will he? Hello, Paul. There we go. The house dates are house updates are amazing, aren't they? I am loving seeing that. I actually somehow stumbled across a video today on YouTube. I think it was because of it was about offices, but basically it was a house in the States, and you know I said how big and airy and open all the spaces in the States. This proved the point. And she was turning a corner of the main living area into an office. It was fascinating to see because we don't kind of have just a corner sitting around on its own. A corner would be part of a room and it would be enclosed. Whereas this literally was like a self-standing corner. I think the kitchen was behind it and the entry, the hallway was like behind the other bit. It's very strange to see that, but she turned it into a stand-up desk and office. So always good to watch YouTube. Mike said we were testing the TV on an iPad. It's a long story. And I said, oh, well, I'll go into my TV app and I'll just make sure that there's nothing that I need to do with it. And I went in and I looked at what was on the TV and I thought, this is why we don't have a TV. It was bad. It was really bad. Let's have a look what's going on. It's been fun making them. It's been great, Paul. It really has. I can't wait. Oh, I'm as excited as you are. I'm enjoying this vicariously because it means I don't have to pack boxes and things. But I'm loving that. Oh, Simon. Hello. How are you doing? So Kim says her house is very open floor plan. I think it's an American thing. There are houses here that are quirky. We had a friend, I mentioned this friend before, this is the one who lived in the massive, it was a massive house, but it was mainly a bungalow, and it had three communal municipal parks as the garden. It was the one where they found the body in the river, if you remember. But their house was very open, very airy, bright, big, huge windows, like patio doors that just swung back, and they left like a 20 metre hole in the wall. It was very open. But it was so unusual for the UK, it got used many, many times for photo shoots for magazines and also in TV programmes because it was that unusual. So most UK households, as I'm looking out of the window, people do have extensions built, but they still have lots and lots and lots of walls. Now, Nina's a huge advocate of knocking walls down. they moved into their house only about 4 or 5 years ago. And they moved a little bit, but the reason that they moved, they had a beautiful house, probably the same distance from us, in the opposite direction as they live now. But they moved because they had this massive garden. And when I say massive, it was another one the size of a park. It used to take Chidge, that's her husband, about a week to mow the grass. It was that bad. So they realised as they was getting a bit older, let's downsize the garden a bit. And they'd had a bungalow before, so they moved into a bungalow. But when you look at the pictures of this bungalow when it was for sale and you look at it now, you wouldn't recognise the place. I think there was a dining room that they've knocked into the kitchen, and she was quite happy to knock other walls down. So when she came in, it was like, oh, your kitchen's tiny. We could knock it through to the dining room. And I'm like, Nina, no. Walk away from the wall, Nina. One, I'm obsessed with security, as you now know. But two, no, that doesn't work for me. The house opposite has actually had that done. And it does look nice in pictures. But again, to me, like you're cooking and the smell's going into the dining room, which sometimes is a good thing and sometimes not so good. And just the fact, if you did remove this wall between the kitchen and the dining room, where do the kitchen cupboards go? Because they're at the moment hanging off the wall. And nobody seems to appreciate nor understand that Mike and I need space where it's quiet. Walls make things quiet. Taking them away, not a good idea. She actually wanted to knock a wall down in Rachel's place because when they moved, that was when Rachel got her own house. And she wanted to knock the wall down between the kitchen and the main living area. And I said, you'd never hear the TV for the washing machine, woman. And that's exactly what Rachel said, so she shooed her out as well. But they look lovely. They do look lovely when they're so light and airy. I love the loft look myself. But we have a need here for quiet spaces, more than one of them, and increasingly studio space. So no, we can't be doing with knocking walls down. Kim says you might never sleep at my house. All the windows and no locks on the doors. Oh my word. You should see me in a hotel. In a hotel in the UK, they give you like a key. It's either a proper key or one of those credit card keys. On the back of the door, there's usually like a deadlock that you can flip down. Tell me I'm not the only one who does this. I actually drag a chair and put that in front of the door as well. You should see the number of times I check the patio windows when we're away. Oh, bad. Bad, bad, bad. But what can I say? That's just the way I am. No, I'm not knocking walls down, but I do love the open look. But I do wonder about, is it like you just designate an area to do something? Because we would have a dedicated room to do something. Traditionally, we've had, because we shared the house, the rooms had to be shared as well. And now, of course, we can pretty much do what we like and put what we want where we want. And I actually, if we moved into this house today, the office would be at the back of the house. And the office is at the front. And it's just purely that the room at the back was my parents' bedroom. And it had been since they moved in. So Mum did actually say to me once, would it be easier in terms of traffic noise, to swap over and put the office at the back. And I thought about it for all of probably between 2 and 3 seconds and said, no, it's fine. Because I could not bear the thought of the pain of actually going through and doing it. I couldn't. But if we moved in today, that's probably where it would be. So Mike and I have revisited that. And every time we do, we come to the same conclusion. Yes, if we moved in today, that's where it would be. Nodding sagely. Are we going to take the time to move it? No, we're not. Shaking head vehemently. No, we're not. So we'd made that decision. The studio is the smaller of the upstairs rooms. And that one's fine. It is what it is and it's fine. But the other ones are like, swap this to there, swap that to there. And it's just the effort it would take that puts us off. Then we were talking about how hot it was. And I said to Mike, it would, Spanish houses particularly, and I think French as well, they tend to have the living space upstairs and the bedrooms downstairs. And I made the point to Mike, as we walked into the bedroom, we were greeted with a heat like a furnace, how much cooler it was when we slept downstairs. And that's exactly what we'd done. Whereas you would have the bedrooms upstairs, we decided we wanted our office space upstairs. And that way, when Mum and Dad were down there during the day, we were upstairs and it wasn't as noisy. But then at night, we would then go downstairs to sleep. And I said how much cooler it was downstairs. And I stopped and I looked at Mike and I went, I had an idea. And he went, oh no. Because we moved our bedroom back upstairs after Mum died. It seemed the logical thing to do. And now I'm thinking, maybe we should move it back downstairs. And that would instead give us another office space upstairs. Ooh, we've got things to think about. Do you know what? It would be far easier to just build an entire new house and just move into that. Moving stuff is a nightmare. Is this just us as well? Whenever you're doing something like that, moving an office, it is a living nightmare because you have to keep a certain degree of access to technology to keep your business going. And then you've got how long it would actually take you to do it. And it always takes at least 3 times as long as your worst nightmare to do it. The last time we did anything like that involved moving a lot of kit, let me think, it was probably about 5 years ago. And what we'd done was we've got a cupboard from IKEA. And this cupboard was the MacBytes magic cupboard. It had all the hard drives in it. We actually ran a competition for people to work out how many. And from memory, I think there was about 93 and a half inch hard drives in this cupboard. But the problem with it was, while it had been fine since it went in, we did some other work changes on the room. That was 8 years ago. And we redid an entire wall and changed the desk. And the cupboard wouldn't stand up since then. Not even joking. It was very wobbly. So what we had to do was leave the door wide open and put a doorstop behind it to make sure that the cupboard didn't start to lean beyond its capability of standing up. So about 5 years ago, I said to Mike, I can't be doing with this. We need to lock the door. So, and I can't move the door because if I move the door, the cupboard will move with it. So we decided we'd replace this cupboard. We replaced it with exactly the same cupboard, split in half. So it's more stable. It holds exactly the same amount of stuff. In fact, I think it's fractionally taller. But it just works, which enabled us to do that. But just doing that must have taken 3 days. Just to get a cupboard out. Get all of the equipment out of the cupboard. Dismantle the cupboard. Build the new cupboard. Put the new cupboard in place and then put all the stuff inside it. And I can't face it. I can't face redoing it. Not even for perfect could I face redoing it. But maybe you're the same. Let me know. Let me know in the chat. What have we had from the government today? More twaddle. So let's ignore that. It's all been about number of tests and releasing the lockdown and how we're going on about that. The newspapers, however, have actually started running pieces in terms of 1 metre is just as safe as 2 metres. I know it isn't, and you know it isn't, but the newspapers, yeah. Spouting the government line, I do believe. And what was the other thing that they were going on about? From the 1 metre thing. Oh, yes, they've started running pieces that literally say, headline of which is post-COVID. And then you look at the figures and you think, just a minute, we're not actually post-COVID. Today we had another 342 deaths in a day. But that's where the papers think we're at. I don't think we're at that yet, but never mind. Hello, Anthony. Good to have you with us. Now, where were we yesterday? I know exactly where we were. We were deep in the setup thing. Kim's laughing at that. Yeah, I was laughing at that as well. So Kim's read an article, the further apart the better, and the better N95 mask, the better. Yeah, we don't have N95 masks yet, but then we're not going anywhere yet. We have zero intention of going anywhere yet. Oh, the other thing that happened today, and they tell me this is just a UK thing, because otherwise my head's on the desk to start with, without finding out it's all over the world. Our MPs are supposed to have gone back to work. Now, we put in place a virtual parliament and people were voting via Zoom and stuff. They installed all of the capability of doing that. Now, I don't know how people vote in other countries, but in our parliament, obviously it goes back to the Stone Age. You actually have to, they use what they call the division. And the division is two doors side by side. And everybody has to get out of their seats in parliament and march over to the division and then go through one door or go through the other door. And they're kind of counted as they go through the door. I mean, prehistoric or what? You could get 10 times the work done if it didn't take 3 hours to have a vote because 600 odd people have got to stand up and go through the right door. Why can't we just have a touchpad? Just saying. Anyway, they're supposed to have gone back to Parliament. Now, obviously, not everybody can go back because some people are shielding. They're still shielding if they're over 70. And the other reason is that some people are having to self-isolate because of family members. So Parliament had a vote. And the vote was to do away with this virtual voting thing and let's get back to business as usual. Which is fine, but the people who can't physically attend Parliament can't vote. Needless to say, the vote was carried. So now there's no opportunity for that, unless you're on maternity leave or long-term health. So they can do it for certain members of Parliament, but not for other members of Parliament. So clearly, there's a group, isn't there, or a website led by donkeys? Yes, clearly we are. So that's where we're at in the government. This vote, this standing up and joining a line and going through the door on the left or the door on the right meant that the queue was over a kilometre long, which is just under half a mile. So there was about a half a mile queue. It stretched back through Parliament, out the door, through the Palace of Westminster, out into the garden and thrice round the garden. And there were photos of this. And one of the opposition MPs took a photograph as the queue seemed to be leaving to go in the garden to say, this is a farce. There's no social distancing. And they were all just bunched up together. So if there's a localised outbreak in Parliament, we all know why. Only takes one, just saying. So Kim says they only have to stand up and say yes or no on some votes. And they walk up and tell the recorder they don't even have to stay in the room for the vote. Oh, my. We are like about five centuries behind that. They physically have to go through a doorway, which is why when we're having all these Brexit votes, you know, you'd sit down for dinner at sort of 6:30 and you'd still be there at 11 as they're having vote number three. It just takes so long. And then they come back. I'm sure you've seen it on the TV. And the old speaker, he was what was his name? John something. But the old speaker, really, he was a real showman. He loved it. He really did. He would really make a drama out of it. And there's this saying that they have, which is unlock. And he'll go, unlock! And you're like, oh, for crying out loud. But what they actually mean is unlock the doors, the division doors. So lock, unlock. It's prehistoric. It's prehistoric. Anyway, they've gone back to that. Despite the fact half of them aren't actually there. No word on those who weren't there. Were they actually allowed to vote in that one remotely? I have no idea. It is insane. So Jonathan says, I don't know why our system's so antiquated. Could you imagine if we had to vote on the X Factor using the same method? That would make for diabolical TV, Jonathan. But it's just the way it is. And no one, I would have thought this was a fantastic opportunity to have, you know, to really look at it and think, how could we modernise Parliament? You know, to make it easier to, because they're like, what, 4 months behind with all of the work they're supposed to be doing. It would be the most amazing opportunity to bring it all up to date. And what are they doing? Rolling it back. There'll be dinosaurs in the dining room next, trust me. They could use the voices revolving chair method. Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? I'd like to see that. I would. Oh, dear me. Your request for the week. Right, I've got that. I love your request for the week. Mike said, I don't know that one. I said, you will when you hear it. So I went to find it, and I pressed play, and half a second later he said, I love this one. I said, I told you you'd know it. I have no idea if he's listening while he's out. He's got the dog out while it's a little bit cooler, but like half a degree. It's not cool enough, put it like that. Not cool enough. So we were looking at software, weren't we? We were. We were going through setup and having a fabulous time. Have I heard that the weather is meant to break tonight? It's been promising me that, hasn't it, Jonathan, for about a week. So when it does, I would suspect we'll get one heck of a storm. Let's have a look. It assures me it's going to be much cooler all the way through to next Thursday. So 15 degrees, 14, 15, 14, 16, 17, 17, and then 19. Yeah, I could live with that. Right now, I think we're at 23, but it feels like 43. If I could be bothered to move, I'd go and have a look at Panda. My panda's called Izzy from Israel. It must be Izzy Isaacs. Izzy from Israel. And I can't quite see him from here. I'll get Mike to have a look on his way in. Otherwise, I'd have to go and collect him. So hopefully it will. Is it going to rain? Did he predict rain, Jonathan? Where's my glasses? I can't see my phone. They're on your head, woman. Right, let's have a look. Rain tomorrow. But not rain overnight until 2 o'clock. And by 4 o'clock, a 60% chance of rain. Going in tomorrow, an 80% chance of rain at 7 in the morning. This might actually make it bearable to walk around, Jonathan. So hopefully that is indeed what's going to happen. Right, let me move this up. Oh, rain. Rain, rain, rain. Yes, I would like rain. The eyes have it. The nose vote, the eyes have it. Yeah, that's pretty much what goes on. It's just ludicrous. It's ludicrous. You can't believe we're in the 21st century at times. You really can't. Mind you, clearly our politicians aren't. They're in their own little world, which is probably the best place for them. So, which did we talk about yesterday? I need to know these things about what you actually use. Who uses Bartender or anything to tidy up their menu bar? I have adored Bartender since the day it arrived. I wouldn't be able to use my Mac, I don't think, without Bartender. Who uses Bartender? Some of you doubtless won't. Bartender is an app that runs in your menu bar on a Mac, and it allows you to hide all the other apps, or at least control the little icons from other apps. Oh, what's this? They stiffed Johnny on the affiliation. That's not on. That's not on. That happened to me with Notion. Mike signed up with my affiliate link and I didn't get any credit for that. Terrible. Terrible. Ah, but he's a set-upper now. Don't have as much stuff in there now. Don't really need it. Apple have actually made a few improvements, but I do still have quite a bit in Bartender. Also for me, I actually wish Bartender was more fully functional than what's in there now. But I mean, I'm looking at the stuff that I've got. I guess some of them you could actually turn off the icon. So things like, what could I turn the icon off from? Actually, you know, maybe not. You could probably lose the volume control, couldn't you? You could just use the keys for that. But most of them, Like, for instance, Cloud Mounter, that's how you access it. And Sound Source, that's how you access it. You could probably turn it off for Moom, but then it would run totally headless. You could turn it off for Snagit, but if you do that, then you lose access to some of the custom things that are only available from the icon. Yeah, quite a lot, I think, would not like to have the icon turned off. What I used to do was also use Bartender for totally clearing the menu bar when I did a live session. I stopped doing that because there's not an easy way to toggle everything on and off. What I actually wanted them to do was to have presets. So within, imagine this, Jonathan. If anybody who's used it, imagine this. You go into Bartender and instead of controlling a single app one at a time, you actually have presets. So I would put like webinar and I would click that on and it would do everything it needed to get rid of everything. Presets, this is the way forward. So I'd have a standard preset and then I'd have like an everything on preset and then my webinar one, which would be everything off. But they've never done that. Never, ever done that. But I do use it and I don't like using my Mac without it because it's far too messy. I tend to only have... Tell me what icons you give space to in your menu bar. Because for me, I was leaving... what is that thing called? The notification center icon, because you couldn't do anything else with it. I left the clock and I wanted something that put the date there. Other than that, the only two that made sense to have were Drop Zone and Bartender. And the only one that I've added since then on a permanent basis is Droplr. But I can actually close Droplr unless I'm actually likely to be sharing stuff. And the other one that goes up there when I'm actually using it is Skype. But other than that, all right, let's have a look. Don't pay out for lapsed renewals. Ooh, they should do. They should do because Jonathan's doing a fabulous job selling to you. So Jonathan says, what happens is I use Bartender to hide all the apps, then get new ones, which then get filed away and the whole thing repeats. Bartender's on all the time for me and I very seldom actually have to go into it. Another reason that it's incredibly important for me is hiding stuff that appears when you're recording. So you've got Camtasia or ScreenFlow and then they'll have a record icon. I've hidden those away, but what I've done since, which is almost, I've probably gone this way because it's faster to do it this way. I've created a library item in Camtasia that covers up the menu bar bit on the right. So whenever I've got a video, instead of tidying it up at the point of record, I tidy it up at the point I go in and I'm looking at the recording I've made. The first thing I will do is drag this kind of mask on top of it, which will mask out all the time and stuff. Because sometimes when you're doing a training video, obviously when it's live, which is why I don't worry on a Friday night for after hours, but when it's live, if you cut out 5 minutes, someone will notice. You'll get a snotogram. I noticed that your clock moved on. Why did we miss that bit? Trust me, it's happened.
Shall I say hello?
How's my snarky voice coming along, by the way? Hello!
Hello.
Look at that face.
I get that.
What? You cut out 5 minutes.
I created that video last week.
Yeah?
Well, the week before.
Mm.
And it was screenshots.
Yeah?
Of the iPad.
Yeah.
Done over a period of time.
Yeah.
With a screenshot slotted in the middle from about 4 hours later.
And somebody noticed.
I don't care if somebody noticed.
Can I just make a suggestion that?
It was... What?
That's actually fixable.
Yeah, I was going to crop the image.
No, no, no. You don't want to do it the slow way. What's the fast way?
Well, you can use 1941. 941.
Oh, well, how can you do that without editing the image? I know the answer to that.
Do an overlay.
Nope. Nope. No, literally, have your phone, have your iPad, take your screenshot, and it always say 941.
Plug it in.
Simples. Plug it in.
To what?
Camtasia.
Version 8 on Windows.
Maybe it needs to be on a Mac, but seeing as though there were screenshots anyway, what's the problem? That would work.
It would.
It would.
Yes.
Now I see. Now he's sitting here, and I can tell by the look on his face, he's thinking, how can I poo-poo that idea? And the answer is...
I wasn't trying to poo-poo it.
You were finding 17 ways that wouldn't work for you, was what you were doing.
No, I wasn't.
No, that's because it would.
It would.
Mm.
Yeah.
See this? Sage, girl.
It was the COVID testing request app. Hopefully, they would have had more to worry about than whether my clock on the iPad.
I cannot tell you the number of times I've done a video of something, and that's why I sanitise the screen. Because the number of times people say, "What's that icon?" You think, "What icon?" And it'll literally be 2 pixels square in the bottom corner, and somebody's spotted it. And you think it must be very distracting. Bless them. Like they've got the attention span of a goldfish.
So Simon's joined setup.
Yes.
Just me to go then.
Just you.
I'll get round to it.
Yeah, so I do try and hide it, but that would have been your way round it, Mike. That someone will, a pedant will get in touch with you and tell you all about that, Mike. Do you know the other trick I use? With times on an iPad thing. Just crop them off. Don't even bother. Just crop the top off.
That's what I just said. I was going to crop them off.
I know, but that you'd have to do that over multiple images.
I decided to leave it.
Yes, but if you'd just plugged it in, it would have been fine.
It would.
You use Bartender, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, was that because I told you to?
Yeah.
Or did you actually have a need?
Well, I've got a need.
But I told you to anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Bartender's a good one, but there is actually a freebie. So if you're not using Bartender and you want the functionality, here we go. I see that you've got your drop share working. Hey. Right, let's get that in there.
She had lots of water.
Good girl. Good girl, Lola. Oh, Jonathan. And you're the one who says you can... A minimal menu bar. Jonathan, no. You've seen mine? No, that's bad. Oh, no. No, I couldn't. Absolutely not. No. Let's have a look. Makes sense to have your drop share there, I'll grant you. But all of the battery stuff and the ups and downs and all of that, no. No, 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 no. None of that. Nor the Bluetooth. Nor the Wi-Fi. Nor the datey thing. I have a tiny one for the date. No, no, none of those. At the moment, let's take that. Right. Come on. This machine is struggling today in the heat. That's another reason I don't like it too hot, because my poor machine, it's stressed out. There we go. Right, let's get that up. Ever so tiny, but there we go. Dropla. There we go. I haven't taken the whole thing. Only the end with the interesting bit on. Oh my. No, definitely not, Jonathan. There's me thinking you're organised. No, no, no. Can't do that. Absolutely not. Right, so what else was there? How about zip tools? I was going to find that Bartender thing, wasn't I? I think it's called Vanilla. But don't quote me. And if I put Vanilla, I'm not going to find that, am I? Oh, is that what Vanilla looks like? Yuck. Right. Vanilla Mac OS. Let's find it. Yes, it is. It's called Vanilla. So this one's totally free. And it actually has a few different options. So you might actually enjoy it more. What you could do, Jonathan, let's blow Jonathan's mind. What you could do with this one is you could have half of your menu bar controlled with Bartender and the other half with Vanilla. That would work. There we go. Kim likes free. Well, that does the same job for free. There is a pro version where you can do other things as well. But for the basic stuff of just hiding it, you can do that for free. And it's actually very neat and tidy, the menu thing. It just looks like an angle bracket. Whereas Bartender, you can pick the icon. But hey, it's free. So there is an alternative that is totally free, which is good. So I was saying, I know what Mike uses for managing zip files. What do you use? Let me know. I know what Mike uses because I told him to use it. Do you know what you use? It'll come to him. He's thinking. You got a sunstroke.
No.
Go on. It's called Bur.
I can't remember. I'll just double click it.
Better Zip.
Oh, I Better Zip. That's the one.
Better Zip is so fabulous because it's the only one that I know of that provides you the ability with your quick look to actually show you what is in a zip file. And I remember Jonathan asking about that in a show. I used the spacebar quick look on a zip file, and Jonathan was like, again, never mind what it was actually demonstrating. What was thrilling Jonathan was you could see inside the zip file, and it came from Better Zip. And when I said it comes from Better Zip, it was like, okay, thank you. And then it was, it's in setup. Ooh! So Jonathan should have headed off for that. Actually, that ability to see inside a zip file, you can have that completely for free. Download Better Zip and install it. It will go into trial mode. And at the end of the trial, you wouldn't be able to use the full app, but the Quick Look extension would still be available. The Quick Look extension was actually totally separate at one point on Leopard, which was the app. That was the version of macOS that gave you the Quick Look, I think. And it was free, but what you had to do was you kept losing the thing. So you had to keep a backup copy of it. And every time I got a new Mac, I would religiously put this thing on it. And then in the end, it went the way that I show you has gone with the audio driver, which is it's inside the application. But with Better Zip, it will continue to work after your trial has expired. But obviously, if you have set up, you have no problems at all because Better Zip is part of it. So Anthony uses Pathfinder. I have a love-hate relationship with Pathfinder, I must admit. I love it, but they changed the licensing and it went weird. You could, if you had a license, you could use it on two Macs. So I had a quick look around and thought to myself, most logical thing to do here is have something like three copies and that would cover all the Macs, two activations per license. But if you bought one license, you would get two activations. If you bought two licenses, how many activations should you get? Four. Two each. How many do you get? Two. So as soon as you buy one extra seat, you then only get one activation per license, which seems a bit on the stingy side to me. Plus the fact that when I first installed version 8, I had a problem with it with Google Drive file stream. Ooh, there's another one with loads and loads of toys on it. A lot of those icons look very familiar. Very familiar. I've got Dropbox and Creative Cloud. Is that Clock One Guest Timer? OneDrive, I don't think I have OneDrive installed, but I do on another machine. And of course, Alfred and 1Password. Oh, I'm loving that. Good night, Jonathan. Night, night. Needs a good sort out. That's the thing. You install something, and even if you do carry on using it, if it's something you never interact with, you know, up in that menu bar area, what's it there for? Every now and then I have the need to see keyboards and stuff. Particularly when I had my Matias Pro, the big heavy thing, and I needed to fiddle around with it a lot. But I don't have that need now, so I took it away. Most of the time, it sits there quite happily and doesn't annoy me, so I leave it alone. I just wish there was a way to have presets, pre-configured, you know, I'm doing a particular job and therefore it would be handy to see these icons. But at other times, I don't want to see any icons at all. That would make it amazing. But it's good to see that. So Pathfinder, version 8, I've pretty much wrote it off. Then version 9 came out and I wrote a snotogram. They wrote to me with how fabulous it was, etc., etc. And I wrote back with why it wasn't. No, I wasn't being snarky like all the people that write to me. It was basically like, you know, it isn't working properly with Google Drive file stream. And the licensing, you know, if I buy one, I can activate it on two. But if I buy two, I can only activate it on two. It's just purely ridiculous. So maybe you could sort that out. I got back in the end. I don't know whether they got a lot of complaints from other people as well. But they book their ideas up and it now doesn't have a problem with Google Drive file stream. The problem it actually had was not that it wouldn't access it, it was just about 5 minutes after you'd open it, it would literally run out of system resources and the entire machine would just grind to a halt until you closed it down. But they sorted that, so I did eventually go for version 9 when they sent me this, you definitely, absolutely do need this. And it was something like, I ended up paying about $18 for an upgrade, which I thought was a reasonable amount, so I did go for it in the end. I do see zip files in it, but I don't exclusively use that for zip files. Again, with setup, isn't it strange that you've got better zip, but you've also got Archiver? They do have. I would have wondered if it was worthwhile for the application developers to put something in setup when there was already an app in setup to do it. Having said that, that actually might make more sense, because if somebody has setup and they've got better zip, they're never going to look at Archiver. But if Archiver's an option, then they might actually look at it. So maybe that's the way the developers are looking at it. But I do really, really like Pathfinder for organising files, because my files are, there's a lot of files and they are all over the place. And the other one that I use for that is one called Forklift. Forklift's a bit strange in that, now isn't that on there as well? From memory, isn't Forklift part of setup? It might be. But what's strange about Forklift is they set it up as an FTP client. And I look at it and I think like, well, yeah, it can do FTP, but it's also just a file manager. So if you wanted a different file manager to the Mac one, I mean, the ability to have two panels next to each other is basically all I wanted from it. Then it's fine as a Finder replacement without, if you sell it to people as it's an FTP client, if they've got no need for an FTP client, then they're not buying. But if you were to say it's a Finder alternative, maybe they're working on the principle that people won't pay for something that they consider they already have, and they consider they already have Finder. But Finder's quite limited in some regards. So I think it is worth, it is in there. Thank you, Simon. Anthony, that's the whole thing, isn't it? The two folders next to each other is the thing, because often you are comparing the two. I do that all the time. I was trying to move some files yesterday. Honestly, it should have been simple. It was about a gig, and I was trying to consolidate all these files in a single folder. And I dragged and dropped and done all the usual. And when I'm checking, there were 10 files in the folder that were videos, and they all had subtitles with them. So whatever, it should always be an even number. And considering I knew there were 10 episodes in this series, there needed to be 20 files, and there was 19. And Finder had just randomly missed one. So I tried to drag it over again. It wasn't having it. And I did have to open up Pathfinder just to move this file, which is ridiculous. So having them side by side is a huge benefit. I know you can do the sling one window to the left and one window to the right, but it is just easier having them in the same window. And also, of course, you've got this split view, but you can have multiple tabs on the left and the right. So it becomes kind of 3D. I do think if I was to compare Forklift and Pathfinder, that Pathfinder edges it. It's just, I like seeing previews at the bottom, and I do believe Forklift doesn't do that. But Forklift's a nice enough app. I think it used to be fractionally cheaper than Pathfinder. Oh, Kim's got vanilla and it's up and running. It does exactly what Bartender does. Bartender wasn't expensive for me. I think I paid £5. And that was a long time ago when it was in beta. And there was an option to pay. And I think if you paid while it was in beta, you paid half what it was going to be, which I did. But I think I've only bought one update to it since. I think he gave everybody a point release for free as well. So he's a developer that I like to support. I just wish it had these sets, these presets. That would save a lot of time. But yes, if it's not something that's hugely important, absolutely use the vanilla one. Can't say fairer than that, can you? Love having software and options, because, you know, if Bartender suddenly takes one on itself and decides that's it, you know, I'm not running today, I wouldn't be able to use my Mac. I'd be distracted by all these icons. That's the point I'd configure vanilla and get it running. And there's also one called Commander One, isn't there? Now, is that a file manager as well? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah. So again, there's three apps in setup that are basically Finder replacements. Commander One is more like, oh, what was that thing on Windows? Opus One. Do you remember, was it Opus One? No, Opus. Directory Opus. That's the one.
Oh, on Windows?
Yeah.
Like Pathfinder.
Well, that's what we're just discussing. We've got Pathfinder in setup and Forklift and one called Commander One. And when you look at the pictures from Commander One, that looks very similar to Directory Opus. Directory Opus was available on Windows and it was a stunning application. It really was a stunning application.
She's had a jumbo.
She's had a jumbo,
so
has she?
A fool, yeah.
Okay, I won't. The thing with this one is Commander One, it's also got the capability, if you look at the second picture on the setup site, it can connect via FTP, SFTP, Google Drive, OneDrive, Box, Backblaze, WebDAV, S3 and Dropbox to mount stuff directly within it. Now, whether they are system-wide mount points, I don't know. But if they were, then that would make Cloud Mounter redundant. So that's quite handy as well. It just seems to have a lot of options, that one, which does remind me of Directory Opus. Oh, that takes me back years. I think I paid about £60 for that. And looking at it, it basically does what this does. It does actually give you, you know, you can have thumbnail view in one side and lists on the other. It looks like Directory Opus. I need to check where that's come from. It might actually be from the same company. Who knows? Simon's missed Vanilla. You have. Vanilla is a free version of an app. Well, it is a free app that you can pay a $4.99 upgrade to if you like. And it does the job that Bartender does. It hides your icons in the menu at the top. So if I go in here and I paste in, there you go. That's the link to it. So if you don't already have Bartender or you are looking for an alternative or a backup, try Vanilla. It's completely free. All right, let's get back in there then. Yeah, Commander One does look very like it. I like that idea. What else is there in setup that could tempt me? Do you know what is in there, Mike? And I've never quite understood the need for it, but that could just be me.
Camtasia.
No, Boom 3D. It's from the same people that make Capto. Something delights.
Is that an audio thing?
Boom. Yeah. Boom's an audio. It says it enhances your audio output, but it's called Boom because it makes it louder. But I would have thought, do you remember that update that came out to Adobe something or other?
Probably, Audition.
Probably, no, I think it was actually an update to Creative Cloud. And one of the problems was it blew the speakers.
Oh, yes.
And you said, how?
Yes.
How is that possible? Well, it's possible if you artificially boost the volume of the sound coming through it, which is exactly what this application does. So I must admit, a little bit strange, that one. Not for me. Not for me. But it's there as an option. Hey, it's an option. Squash is supposed to be a good one. That compresses files to make them smaller. But it does it particularly on images. The reason I left that alone was it was from the same people who make Rapid Weaver.
We don't like them.
We have a love-hate relationship with them, don't we? After they just went through...
Where's the love bit?
We love to hate them. No, they are... I mean, as Jonathan said, there's a blast from the past, but people are still using Rapid Weaver. But they went through a phase where I don't think they knew what they were doing. And they just wanted another app and another app and another app. But as soon as they developed the app, they put all the work in. They seemed to have a fetish for developing apps, but they had no intention of supporting them. And they just died. And, it, you know, when you've invested in an app, the last thing you want to hear is the developer saying, and we're binning it. But that's exactly what they did. So Simon says probably an EQ with a loudness booster around 100 hertz. Probably. If you say so, I'll go with that, but I'm leaving it alone. And when it comes to managing my audio, I am more concerned with where I'm routing it to than anything else. So there is actually an app called Sound Source from Rogue Amoeba. It's one of these strange apps that you might look at and think, I would never, ever have the need for that.
I use that.
But it, even if you're not doing what it intends you to do, which is routing audio, it's great, isn't it, as an interface to the sounds panel.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what the problem is? Or can't you remember what the problem was? What was the problem you were trying to fix?
My problem was that my audio kept automatically changing. So I'd be doing a webinar, and about 10 minutes into the webinar, the person who was managing the webinar would come on and say, "We can't hear you," or "Your audio's gone very low." Now, I'd done a sound check 5 minutes before I started, and then something automatically just changed, usually Skype, just changed the volume. And when I went into control panel, sound preferences, the bar had gone like halfway down instead of being at maximum.
I've just checked and mine's just done exactly the same thing.
For no reason.
For no reason. It is, it's just idiotic. It's just the way the Mac works. It could be as soon as you take a call on Skype. Skype takes control of your microphone and that's the end of that. So I fixed that again. So I use Sound Source. Now Simon's saying he's used Loopback. Expensive, but the only thing that does things for me. Sounds like app developer ADD. That's exactly it, Kim. That is exactly what they were like. It was as though they loved the inception of a project and the newness of creating it. And then it was like, we've done that now.
Do we have to go and sell it and support it?
Yeah. So, but, you know, it, that's fine. They make it free. But don't sell it and say it's the next greatest thing. You know, once they've done that, like, if they do it once, fair enough. If they do it twice, okay, I should probably be warned, you know, that that's likely to happen. But if they keep putting it out and I keep listening to them, then I'm stupid. So no, I moved away from anything they produced. It shows you, doesn't it, how your perception of a developer is such that I won't touch one of their apps. And that they are probably the only company. There's other companies who've bin stuff.
See you later, guys.
Oh, enjoy your meeting.
Oh, thank you.
Have fun.
Can't wait.
It makes me wonder why you go.
Ooh, oh, chicken.
Lola's saying she feels your pain. You might want to put your hair down on that side. Why do you go for the wrong what there? Side. That side.
Right.
You'll tell when you get in there. Doing his hair. Right, let's have a look. Enables you to send app output via your little speakers and music to my hi-fi. Rogue Amoeba do amazing stuff. All of their stuff is fabulous. Their app was the first one I ever bought on the Mac, and I couldn't believe how good it was. I could not get the money to them fast enough. What I wanted to do was record from internet radio. Now, bear in mind, this is April 2006. We'd actually gone, let me think when that would have been. Yeah, it would have been 2006. There was an online, well, it was an online radio. They had an online aspect to it. And I wanted to record just the sound from that. And I had an older app on Windows. It wasn't Wiretap. I did have Wiretap, but this was on Windows. I have no idea what it was called, but I can see the interface to this day. It was appalling. It was a tiny, tiny little window. And you just told it, you know, where you wanted to get the audio from. So back then it would probably have been Opera, my browser. And then you press record. That was it. That was all it could do. But the thing that stuck with me about this application was, I know there are strict interface guidelines for the Mac. Less so for Windows, shall we say. Less so to the point that people just did their own thing. And in so doing, it was appalling. It had the bar at the top where the name of the app was like a picnic cloth. I think it was called Good Something. It could have been like Good Recorder, something like that. But that's what it did. It did exactly what Audio Hijack does, which is record from various sources. And it did it. It did well. You know, it created a WAV for you and it was great quality. But when I came to the Mac, obviously that wouldn't have worked on the Mac. So I needed something that did that. And in looking for it, I found Audio Hijack. And I tried it and I couldn't believe how amazing it really was. So I'm like, I want to buy this app. And that was the first one that I bought. They also have one for speakers, which is it something speaker? No, clearly not. Airfoil. And that enables you to play stuff around the house on different systems. And control it remotely with your iOS devices. So I bought Airfoil. They've got a version of that for Windows as well. Then they brought out Loopback, and I was on the beta for Loopback before they actually released it, and I couldn't believe how good that was. Oh my, couldn't wait to get my hands on that. Then there was Farago, which I bought and tested, you know, played around with, but because when we do live, it was mainly training, we didn't really have the need to key up like a soundboard. But obviously now with the radio stuff, you do. Did I pay for Loopback? No, I don't think I did the first time, because I think they've got this thing where if you send in a support ticket, well, not support ticket, if you report a bug. So I don't think I did pay for it. Now, did I pay for the upgrade? I don't think I paid for the upgrade either, because again, I was on the beta program. So if you're on the beta program and you do give them feedback, I'm in the middle of feedback with them over Farago. I've managed to break it on them. So now I am using Farago a lot. I've got an open support ticket. It wasn't doing them alphabetically, which it said in the manual that it did. So I don't think I did pay for Loopback. But when I say I bought it, obviously I bought into the concept of it, I can tell you. And then there was SoundSource, and I looked at SoundSource and I thought, I really don't have the need for this one. Walk away. But I do. I do. I have to get on the beta program. I haven't recovered from paying for it. It that was expensive, I'll grant you. But it there is nothing else like it. Every time they bring something out, there is a degree of crossover between the applications. But not that much that you don't need both. They're very clever, and they all work perfectly together as well. So Anthony needed to record the screen over the voiceover screen recorder on the iPhone using ScreenFlow, but also needed to record a voiceover plus the audio from the phone. And the only way you could do it was with Audio Hijack. That's pretty much what we kind of set up here. Mike has no idea how Audio Hijack works. It's just press that button there, Mike. I go through and I set up pretty much everything that's needed to be set up, and you start really simple. You know, you've got like an input and an output and a recorder block, and before you know it, you've got 12 blocks for my microphone, and there's three microphones, so there's 36 blocks in an Audio Hijack thing that's called microphone. The Skype one that they give you was okay. But it didn't split the channels like we need to split the channels for the audio. Let's have a look. Just plug the phone into ScreenFlow, record the iPhone, but not the screen reader. That's silly, actually, isn't it? But I think that's Apple. Apple could probably make that work, but choose not to. Wasn't that replaced or updated? Which one, Simon? Which one was replaced or updated? I was talking about five of them. Which one? SoundSource? SoundSource was upgraded to version 4, and it can do a bit of audio redirection. So you could create a composite source from it by taking the audio from Firefox and QuickTime and redirect them to the same thing. But you would need Loopback to create the virtual device to send it to. I know the system can do virtual devices in the audio configuration, but the problem with it is, it's not as simple nor as feature rich as Loopback, but Loopback is not cheap. I think it's around, was it the update that was £80 or was Loopback about £80? Loopback, Rogue Amoeba. Let's have a look. Right, Loopback, let's have a look. Oh, let's close one eye because it's going to be really expensive, isn't it? Purchase $119. Ouch. But there are bundles now. The thing is, oh, and the upgrade was 59. The upgrade was cheaper than I thought. $190, yes. Oh no, they just radically overhauled the Audio Hijack logo, have they? Let's have a look at Audio Hijack. Let's go back up here. Audio Hijack. I'm still seeing the my bottle. Have they done more than that? Would that be on their blog? I love the icon. The icon's lovely. I'm not seeing that. Oh, what's that? Oh, Zoom call. Nope, that's a Zoom call thing. And that's for Argo. Have they? Don't frighten me to death. I can't remember what it used to be now. I remember them changing it to the bottle. And I actually really like that. That's definitely got uses, that, for more than just looking at it. Because obviously you can extract the icon and use it for like presentations and stuff. It works really well. I love that. But it's none of their stuff is cheap. But what I would say is it's incredibly worth it. I'm looking at all the apps they've got and I actually do have everything that they make. So listed on here, there is Airfoil for Mac, Audio Hijack for Argo, Fission, which is an audio editor, Loopback, Piezo, which is also a recorder, SoundSource, and then it says underneath the Ultimate Podcast Bundle, which I think was the one that Paul in Ohio was looking to buy, which is Audio Hijack, Loopback for Argo and Fission. But underneath that, there's another one, and it says the entire Rogue Amoeba lineup. So if you wanted to buy everything, you can actually do that. How much is that? $300. So it doesn't actually tell you, unfortunately, the price of everything individually. But SoundSource is $35. It would be a lot cheaper, but things like Piezo you probably wouldn't need. How much is that podcast bundle? $210. In fact, what their website is actually doing, I'm saying $210, but it's $175 plus tax. Which means that's $35 tax on that. That's not right. Oh, it is. That's frightening. It obviously is working out the tax based on where I am, which is what the Hindenburg site does. But, you know, if you're going to pay $210, you might as well pay $300 and have everything. That's how I look at it. But no, it's not cheap. It really isn't cheap. But if you use audio, even sort of one day a week, and when I say use audio, record audio, need to isolate audio, it's worth it. That's the icon. Oh my God, I've not seen that in ages. Yeah, I thought it was an improvement when they updated it, I must admit. I love the new icon. What they did do was that, in fact, they could do one thing that would make my life perfect with it. I hate the way that when you move blocks near to each other, they just twang. I wish there was a way of overriding that, because I have 36 blocks for my microphones, 12 for the main microphone, 12 for the backup, and 12 for mics. And they're things like denoising and adjusting volume and stuff like that. But if I want to play a video through Keynote, then I have to have a block for Keynote going to the same pipe. And I have to leave a gap of two blocks, because if I don't, they tend to twang together. And I wish you could just override that in the way you used to be able to in the old one. There was a grid and you manually put things in the grid. Whereas with this new one, it's all dynamic and it all twangs together, which is fine if you're being very linear with it, but not if you're not. And the more complicated the layout, I sometimes have to tweak the layout, move things further apart or closer together just because I'm changing one element. So I have a session which is called Radio Broadcast. Used to be called MacBytes FM, and there only used to be MacBytes FM in it. But then I decided it wasn't worth having another three entire sessions. I might as well just put what we call the MacBytes Live Pipe. And the Live Pipe is exactly what you're hearing now. But we have it separate in case we ever need in a rush to go somewhere else to do something. So when that would come in is, and this actually happened, sounds horrific, but it, trust me, it actually happened. We were in YouTube and we needed to decamp to Connect. But I'd got all the, these audio thing going on, and Connect comes up and it needs one single source. So I use what I call the MacBytes live pipe. Now the live pipe could contain my microphone, backup microphone, Mike's microphone, Skype, Spotify, Google Chrome. It could include any amount of stuff, and you can only give it one input. So I create this virtual input called the MacBytes live pipe, and everything goes to it. So what we did in this radio broadcast session was, it's got MacBytes FM in it, it's got the MacBytes live pipe, which is disabled at the moment, it's not needed, and there's a block for broadcasting live to Brooklands, and obviously that's disabled at the moment, or they'd be hearing us. But what happens on a Saturday night, which is another reason for having it as a single block, is I only need to manipulate the single session. And what I would do is, as you know, we go out of MacBytes into Brooklands, but then I only turn off the broadcast to Brooklands, to MacBytes, when the first song starts playing. And that's only because we're not licensed for music on MacBytes FM. We are licensed on Brooklands, but not MacBytes. And then I just turn that off. So I can, in real time, choose to broadcast anywhere else and then manually turn the other one off. So that's what I do. But there's no way. Before I did it via Audio Hijack, I used something else that Rogue Amoeba used to do, which was Nicecast. It's a thing called a Nicecast server. So you bought the application, I think that was around the $60 mark. But I'd had it years. And it turned your computer into a radio server. So you didn't need to pay another service and broadcast through it. You literally just pressed live and gave people a URL, or put that URL in a player, like you're listening to it on the homepage now, and you had a radio station. So it was only when that was no longer supported. So it still worked, but it no longer was supported. Now, what we used to use it for was once a year. It was pretty much once a year, although we started doing it, I think, more often than that. It was when Apple had a live keynote, and we created an audio only feed of the keynote, because a good few years ago you could only use that if you had Safari, and a lot of people, given the time it was, were at work, but they could listen to our stream from wherever. So we used to use it for that. And it was only really when that came to its end of life, and I said to Mike, it's unsupported. If it breaks, that's it. It won't work. So we need to have an alternative in place. And that was when we started looking at radio hosting, which meant that you were paying per month and you could broadcast 24 hours a day. It seemed silly to take it on for an entire year and not actually do something with it, which was when MacBytes FM was born. And obviously without MacBytes FM, we wouldn't be able to go live every day as we do now. So really that's been in place. And once COVID appeared, it was already there. And that's how I think about this MacBytes live pipe. I go through the what ifs and build in a plan B. It can sit there and it may never be used. But on the odd occasion, and it was a demonstration I was doing of an Affinity product, and it was hysterical. I had to put in, there was no way I could get live on YouTube. It was just not having it. But we were in the chat. So in the chat, I said, let's just go to this Connect room. And of course, Adobe own Connect. So once we'd all got in this Connect room, I said, the irony is not lost on me. And it wasn't lost on anybody else either, that we were using Adobe technology to demonstrate an Affinity product. But I did have a local recording of the session, and I deleted the live thing on YouTube and then uploaded that as a video. And we did it that way. Is there a free way to do the Nicecast type thing now? You can actually get some radio hosting that's totally free, Simon. So yes, there is. We didn't go for totally free because there was just too many limitations with it. But in terms of on your computer, it would be very, very tricky. Let me see. The ones that we looked at first, because we'd had no experience of radio hosting either, but the ones we looked at first, we looked at them because they were listed on the Rogue Amoeba blog. So let's try and find that very, very post. Under the microscope, it's called, and it would have been a good while ago. But what they were basically saying to you was, let's try radio hosting. What they were saying was, you know, you won't be able to use Nicecast down the line, so here's what you need to do. And it was 2 years ago, in March and June. So the first post was telling you the background of how it worked, etc. And what they were intending to do. And what they did with it was they moved the technology that was in Nicecast and they put it in a broadcast block that's now in Audio Hijack. And I remember looking at it and thinking, just a minute, how can you do all of that in a block? But actually you can, because what's in this block is it's one of the more difficult blocks to work with. It's got three tabs in itself. It's got status, it has metadata where you need to fill in all of the metadata, and then it's got this setup bit where you need to put in all of the server address, the ports, the passwords, the encoding and all of the rest of it. So actually it is a very fully functional block and it totally replaces it, but you need to have somewhere to stream to. And I think it was the second blog post they did on that. People were writing to them and sort of saying, this is all very well, but I don't know where to go, basically, with it. And at the bottom, it's not that post either. It's one of these posts. I will find it on there. Let's see if there we go. No, nope, I've still got the same two. I've got this link somewhere. I'll find it. But they listed a whole range of servers, so radio servers that Audio Hijack would then support. And we went through them from sort of the top one down. The ones that were free, basically it was the quality that was a bit of an issue. It was really low. It would probably have been okay for voice, maybe, but it would have been like listening to a radio, like a medium wave, long wave radio. Whereas the other ones go up to, I think the one we're using is 320, but the others were like 18. So there was a huge, huge difference. Let's see if any of the names ring any bells to me as I look at them. Yeah, Shoutcast. There is a free version of Shoutcast. So you can have a personal page and a personal subdomain and you get 5,000 listeners. But it's supported by ads. So basically they will, you know, you will have ads running on your station. The other ones, there's free flash players and all kinds of stuff on here. But that one is probably, I think that's probably the one we started with because it was free and it was like, well, let's see if it works. But there are quite a few of them. The difference is the quality. So what I'd say is you could do with a comparison between them. What Rogue Amoeba put out was not a comparison between them. It was just people saying, I don't know what to do now. I don't have a service to broadcast to. And they said, this is a list of server types that are supported by Audio Hijack. And it was just a list. But Shoutcast do a free one. Cast FM do a free one. So free stream plan. Let's see what's included in that. 400 listeners up to 128k bit rate. So not brilliant for music, but you get away with voice. There's a podcast recorder on that one and a control panel and websites, etc. I don't know what the limitations are beyond that because it doesn't say. But I'll put the link in for you, Simon. Go and have a look at. What we found is people are more than willing to listen to audio, whereas most people seem to think video is where it's at. Obviously, we've got both because we have after hours. But sometimes radio just kind of works better, doesn't it, for certain things. We were actually discussing the Brooklands group are thinking of having a quiz. In fact, they're having a quiz. We can't go to said quiz because we have a prior engagement with you guys on after hours. But they're going to do a quiz. And I said to Mike, you know, to some degree, works better on the wireless, works better on radio. because you just sat kind of looking at people in a quiz. Hopefully they'll use the screen for the questions and then that would make that work. But when they're talking about getting together and having like a social, sometimes that does actually work with no video and it works better. It just depends what the content is. What you're thinking of broadcasting? So Anthony says the nice thing about audio is you can do something else at the same time, whereas video you have to give it your full attention. I totally agree, Anthony, and yet some people are doing what I would consider to be audio work, only they're doing it on YouTube. The genre particularly that I've seen doing that is where it's like true crime or history stuff and they don't have any visuals. So how they get over that in two ways. I mean, if you're doing a thing about Jack the Ripper, you've got nothing that's yours and your copyright unless you can draw and you intend to draw it. Or go down to London and get some modern footage of the locations involved, which the TV, when the TV channels do something on the Jack the Ripper, that's exactly what they do. And they say, this is what it looked like then and this is what it looks like now. But most people don't have that opportunity to get that kind of footage. So they get round it in one of two ways. The first way is they do have somebody who draws it for them. And what they do to kind of make that work on video is a very, very slow Ken Burns effect on it. If you're not familiar with the Ken Burns effect, it's where an image is on the screen and it moves ever so fractionally and then eventually transitions into another image. And it's known as the Ken Burns effect. And it does work quite well, even though you're looking at a static image, because it's moving ever so fractionally in one direction. It plays with your mind that actually you're looking at a moving image, which is exactly what you're looking at, but it's not video. The other thing they do to get around it is to just do a piece to camera. They literally just sit and do a piece to camera. I've actually been doing quite a bit of research on YouTube, which Mike got the brunt of to go with today when he asked a simple question. But without exception, with the channels I've seen on true crime, they are ladies between the ages of 20 and 35 who started their channels as makeup and fashion channels, who have all, again without exception, moved over to true crime. And they all do the same style of videos. It's like watching clones of each other. They look like they're fully made up to the point of they look like they're doing a makeup tutorial. And they sit cross-legged on the bed and tell you the story of whoever, a true crime case. And I put one on and I'm like, because I quite like true crime. I've liked true crime since I was a kid, probably since I was far too young. I was actually talking to Mike about a series. Those in the UK might remember it. Good morning, Paul. It was called Murder Casebook, and it was a part work thing, probably about 35 years ago. And I was glued to this thing, you know, part work, week by week. I would read through these things because that to me was what I thought the law was all about. Then I got involved in crimes, very boring. So I went on to far more interesting things like medical malpractice. But I was into it for a long time. So I watched one of these things. But when I say watched, you don't actually need to watch it because there's nothing on the screen but her sat cross-legged on the bed. It works better as audio. But the reason that it's not audio, that she's not paying to host her own audio radio channel on her website, is she's taking her content to where the people are, and therefore it's on YouTube, even though it doesn't need the visual aspect to it. It's just the way it was. Just the way it was and is. Right, so Simon says, not much. My friend and I would like to take turns to be DJ when working late, as we have some terrible taste in music. It's great fun. Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds pretty much like we do on a Saturday night. We get nominations for the worst song. Last week really took the biscuit. I do not know how anybody is going to top that this week, but we'll see. It is fun playing around. Yeah, I agree. It was very, very good. So Anthony says, come across videos like that. Really, they should be audio. You feel you have to look at it, even though it's just someone talking. I agree, and I think it's very clever on their part as the presenter that they're eyeballing you, and they are. You know, normally when you talk to a person in a coffee bar or whatever, you tend to be looking all over the place, but they totally eyeball the camera and you feel obliged to eyeball them back, even though you don't actually need to and you could just listen. If I'm actually intending to listen, and I say listen to one of those, I'll tend to open it in a separate tab and minimise it. It could be audio. But of course, when you see the views that they're getting for these videos, they're making a living at it. So they're going where the listeners are, even though they then have to provide a video aspect to something that would quite happily just be audio. Simon says Nicecast was perfect. It was, it really was, because there was no ongoing expense, although it itself was about $60 from memory, which by comparison, I think Audio Hijack at the time was about 35, 28 to 35, something like that. It felt a bit like, why am I paying more for this? Audio Hijack does more. But it was a single expense and you actually used your own bandwidth. You ran your own server. And it did, it worked fantastically. We used it for 9 years. 9 years. So we did our very first audio only stream in about 2010. And every time Apple had an event, we ran this audio only stream. We've now reached a point where do we provide an audio only feed of the Apple event, or do we do something different? And we had to come to the conclusion, because we've got broadcast licenses, we can't really take the risk of just relaying Apple's audio, because it's not our audio, it's Apple's audio. So Mike said, well, we can't really do it anymore then. And I said, well, I think there's scope. I said, because a lot of people will just want to watch the event and be in the chat, and that's fine. I said, but what I do sometimes when I'm watching something is like a kind of behind the scenes thing. So I said to him, what we'll do is we'll do our own alternative commentary. So we start off, we'll be doing this for WWDC if there's an event. If there's an event, which I think there will be. I think there'll be some kind of keynote. So what will happen is probably for about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the show, we'll be in the chat and we'll probably be having a chat about what we're hoping for and what we're expecting. And then at the point that Apple start talking, we will say, mute us and listen to Apple, but we'll carry on in the chat. But obviously to have something broadcasting on MacBytes FM, which it wouldn't be very good if it was silent, we'll do our alternative commentary. So in the background, you'll hear Timmy babbling on, but you'll be getting our reactions in real time, most of which is not another games demo, yawn. So basically just us, our first impressions at that point. We don't really expect that many people to listen to that at all. It's just that's what's going out while the Apple event is on. What we used to do was we would mute our microphones and we would just pipe the Apple audio through. But that's a bit risky on a public station. So we can't really do that anymore. So that's why we do it that way. So Kim watches a show that tries to solve cold cases and finds it fascinating. Is that actually called Cold Cases? There's two women. Oh, I can't remember their names. A long time since I've seen it, but I think I binge watch it, every one of them. And it is fascinating the way they go about it. And 9 times out of 10, they solve it as well. Or at least get to the point where they can pretty much tell you what happened, even if they can't prove it. But they do give the family some degree of closure on that. I think, from memory again, I think that's on Amazon Prime Video. The names will come to me. No, it's actually a real life TV show. I think it's probably the same one. Let me have a look. Why am I not signed into Amazon Prime? For crying out loud. Come on. Where you go. I will find this. Is it Two Ladies? Because if it is, that's definitely the one. So look at crime. Oh, crying out loud. There's a lot of stuff on here, most of which I wouldn't watch. Let's try. Let's try Cold Case. Mm-hmm. Cold Justice. Kelly and Yolanda. That's the one. Yolanda, unusual, an unusual name. Yeah, the one I've seen is Cold Justice. There's also one, I think I've probably seen some of those, Cold Case Files. But again, they are just fascinating. And some of the work that they've done in that Cold Justice is amazing. I love the way they get them in as experts and they're actually advising the police. And you're thinking, you know, the police should be the experts at this. But these two ladies are pretty amazing. And they always seem to find a new angle on it. Sometimes they have actually been, they've actually found the person and they have ended up being arrested. And given that these things go back sometimes to 2013, I find myself Googling to see if the person was actually convicted. But there's actually quite a few things like that that I love. They're the kind of things that I actually do watch. There was another one I watched called It Takes a Killer. I think that was an American one. And I've no idea how many episodes there were. But when I'm working really, really late, this was what I was watching. Looks like there's two seasons of that one. I think there's about 20 in each. Some of the cases I've seen before, but some of them are new to me. Maybe I should have a true crime channel as well, given all that I watch. Absolutely. All right. Anthony says, I always wanted to do computer forensics, but you had to join the police force and become a PC. Glad you didn't. Yeah, so much of it now, I couldn't watch it. I could not watch stuff like that. Having said that, they do outsource some of that, Anthony, and they've also taken on some white hat hackers as well. Because I think they appreciate, you know, to join the police force and become a PC, that's not really where your skill set lies in computing. So they now do take on without that part of it. I always wanted to be a dog handler. Didn't particularly want to do any of the police work, just wanted the dog. It's all right, it never happened. I decided it'd be far easier to just buy a dog. But that was one of my ideas in my wild and impetuous youth. What was it? It was the law, a policewoman. What was the other one? I briefly contemplated accountancy before I came to my senses. It briefly toyed with that as in like 10 seconds. You think it'd be great fun to track down the hackers? I do, but you know the kind of stuff you might be expected to do, it's a little bit like the child porn would do my head in. Wouldn't want to do that at all. I think that could get to you over a period of time. You've always wanted your own boarding kennels. Oh, no, that would be fabulous. We have one round the corner near Rachel's and they breed huskies. But they also have, it's like a little bit of farmland. They also have like a very tiny shop. And the first time we heard about it was when one of their dogs got to the finals of Crufts. And it was like, oh, they're really close. And when I looked up the address, I said, you're never going to believe how close. They are literally around the corner. But you feel a bit of an idiot wandering up there with no dog. Obviously, I want to see their dogs, but bad without a dog. Then we got Ollie. Ollie wasn't interested. And Ollie had little dog syndrome. He would take on big dogs just because he was a tiny dog. But we did take Lola up there and she was most interested in heading off up this path. But we didn't have time that particular day. And that was when we went into lockdown. So we've not actually managed to get Lola into this little shop and meet all these dogs. But they are, there are groomers. I think they do breed huskies. And I think they also have grooming parlour and stuff as well as this little shop. So yeah, and you really need to get there. Really need to get there. We never took Maya to kennels. We couldn't have afforded the insurance. No, seriously, Mayer Kennels, no. No, no, no. He was an amazing dog, but he was... Other people thought he was wild. He wasn't wild. As long as you wanted him to do what he wanted to do, he was fine. Absolutely fine. On a walk, as long as you wanted to go where he wanted to go, everything was fine. But he was a very... a determined little dog. So there was no way you could say, you know, go over there and do that. No, only if he wanted to. The story of Fetch the Pipe with my mum. She had this rubber pipe and he was most interested in this rubber pipe. So she decided, because he was interested, this was the treat to use to teach him how to fetch something. So she threw the pipe and she'd say, fetch the pipe, fetch the pipe. This went on for like, I said, I'll leave you with it. And I'm thinking, he's never going to fetch the pipe, but I'll leave you with it, Mum. And I went down later and said, how are you doing? No, he's not quite got it yet. But the thing was, he wasn't stupid. He was just looking at, he'd like lift an eyebrow up and look at her as though, you fetch the pipe. So about 3 days later, I said, how are you doing with fetch the pipe? She said, yes, he's got it fine. I throw it, I go and bring it back to him. It works for him. I said, I told you that. That was my lad. So there was no point really trying to get him into kennels, because they would have expected, they would expect to tell the dog what to do and the dog do it. And Maya didn't work like that. Lola's a little bit more compliant in that regard. When I took her out on Friday while Mike was doing his Excel thing on after hours, we went out and she's dancing round my car. No, she thinks if she can't see you, you can't see her. And she'll flop and he'll be like, no, we're going in now. And she'll just look at you. But we've got this thing where we go in. And that sound she seems to associate with, right, it's time to go in the house now. And she does. So if ever we're on air and you hear in, that's me trying to get the dog in. But she has kind of got that, bless her. She has kind of got it. And she does bring things back as well. When you say fetch, she brings things back. So the first time she did it, you know, you throw something and you say, come on, fetch it. You automatically say that, even if you don't expect the dog to bring it back. And I didn't. And I glanced around and she brought it back and I went to Mike, whoa, Lola understands fetch. Whoa. And we just looked at each other with, she's Samoyed. Are we sure she's 100% Samoyed? Maybe it was just our boy, but he was very self-deterministic, shall we say. But adorable with it. Absolutely adorable with it. Can't we yak? But it's been a good night. It's been a good night. What are we doing tomorrow? Wednesday. I will hopefully be able to report back tomorrow that the weather has indeed broken. It is indeed raining and I am a much happier bunny. The only thing I heard today was May was the hottest month on record ever in the UK. And to be honest, May was mediocre up till the middle and then it just got a bit warmer. So we've had some horrifically warm days. I'm hoping for better tomorrow. But right now I can hear Lola with a chicken squeaking and she's yipping. So I presume she wants to go outside. So that's where I'm going to head off and go. But hopefully we will see you here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bring your ideas with you and bring whatever it is you're doing with you and share. We would love that. We would absolutely love that. But for tonight, from me, it's good night from me. It's good night from Mike. And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.